We thank you for your holy presence among us. We thank you for Jesus Christ. Now speak, God, for we are listening, and truly your church needs to hear from you. Let me decrease and you increase, Lord God, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. John Wesley wrote, we've been doing this wonderful book and it's beautifully written. In one of his last sermons, he wrote something called The Character of a Methodist. And here's an excerpt. I'm just going to read one little part. It was published in 1739. He says, a Methodist is one who loves the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, all his mind, and all his strength. God is the joy of his heart and the desire of his soul, which is continually crying, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth whom I desire besides thee, my God and my all. And then later on he would say, and loving God, he loves his neighbor as himself. He loves every person as his own soul. He loves his enemies, yea, and the enemies of God. For he is pure in heart. Love has purified his heart from envy, malice, wrath, and every unkind temper. It has cleansed him from pride, whereof only cometh contention. And he hath now put on the bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. This was written over 300 years ago. How important love is. And how fitting it would be that for the last few weeks we have been speaking about the fruit of the Spirit. And how important love is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And as one theologian says, consider this, love is the budding point from which all other fruit comes. And then referencing 1 John 4:16, the writer says, God is love, and whoever remains in love remains in God, and God in him. And how much we need to be reminded this Sunday about the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thus the love, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. And all the other fruits bud from love. And so today, Christian believers, we know what the absence of love does. Because when we don't have love, hatred grows. When there is no love in our heart, there is no joy, there is no peace, there is no patience, and there is no kindness. As today we look at patience and kindness, without love, we are empty. And because of lack of love, on Wednesday, June 17th, we saw this absence, presence of hatred, that caused a 21-year-old man to enter a church and kill 9 people who were in Bible study. Absence of love. Because love would never allow that. The senior pastor and 3 other pastors, one retired, along with 5 other members, were senselessly killed on that horrible evening in prayer. Yet Newsday had on its front page on Saturday, hate won't win. Families offer for forgiveness as they face massacre suspect adhering. There is no greater example of the fruit of the Spirit than what these families have said thus far. No greater example of the Spirit of the Lord working in them. It is not possible to feel or to have forgiveness for someone who have killed your loved one. Many of us here could not do it or say it. Maybe I couldn't do it or say it. I'd have to be in deep prayer. Anthony Thompson said, "I forgive you. My family forgives you. We would like you to take this opportunity to repent. Repent. Confess. Give your life to the Lord. Give your life to the one who matters the most, Christ, so you can change your ways no matter what happens to you, and you will be okay. Do that, and you'll be better off than you are right now." Who would say that? It is not human beings. Our flesh does not say those things. It is the Spirit of God who will have someone who has just lost their aunt, who was 87 years old, shot down in cold blood, to say, "I forgive you. And if you give your heart to Christ, He'll make it better for you." That is the fruit of the Spirit of God that lives in you. Does it make me weep? Yes, it does. My friends, as we come together in our churches, you see, it could happen to any of us. We may think it's only there, or it won't happen here, until it happens to us. Till someone walks in who don't like Christians. They don't have to care about color. They may just don't like Christians. Don't like people who are worshiping God. And decide to come in the church and take us all out. But that won't stop us, because we believe in God. I'm encouraged this morning that all of those families who responded, not one of them said, "I want to kill that young man." What a fruit of the Spirit. How the Holy Spirit can work in our hearts. That is not human. Because human flesh says, my flesh says, "I'm going to find you and kill you." That's human. I get so angry, I want to find you and do the worst I can. But the Spirit of God that lives in us, through God's love, brings forth kindness. Those are the kindest words I've heard in a long time, with all that has been going on in our country with killing and murdering. The kindest words. And thanks be to God that this morning those words would come from Christians. What an example of a Christian life, and should make us pleased to be a Christian. But does that mean that we're weary? Yes, we're weary. We're weary of the killing in our country. We're weary of what's going on. We're weary of the dying and the shooting, and a policeman gets shot again in the South, and somebody else gets killed, and they're looking for two men running, murderers running upstate New York. You don't know if they're not going to show up on Long Island. And I keep locking my front door. Every time I leave my storm door open, I always do. I say, "I better lock it. Who knows? They may show up down here." You know, we're weary. We're constantly weary. And so Isaiah, this text from Isaiah, comfort for God's people. It begins in verse 1, "Comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord." And then the writer in verse 28 says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" Ask the question. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. That's where the patience come in. The only way that church and those people and that community and we as a nation is going to get through what we are going through, it is we have to wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord, the scripture says, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. This is where our patience come in. Because we're waiting on the Lord, and because we're waiting on the Lord, We could run. You know, we who are older, we don't run anymore, but we could walk and not get faint because we are trusting in the Lord. If we are not depending on the Lord, we cannot go through these things before because fear grips our heart. We shall run and not get weary, and we shall walk and not get faint. If it's not for God, if it wasn't for God and our faith in God, many of you probably would not get up and come to church this morning because people start getting scared and worried. Now they're talking about securities in church and what do you do? And one man in CNN says, you've some churches have security guards and so on. Now if you know the AME culture, just like our church, the AME comes out. I came out of the AME tradition many years ago and then came back into the Methodist, full Methodist. They are part of our Methodist connection. When we come together as Methodists, World Methodists, the AMEs are there, the CMEs are there. We are all out of the Methodist connection. Do you know that church? The AME was started because Richard Allen, many years ago, 17-something or 18-something, left the Methodist church because of segregation, because they had to sit upstairs and their white brothers and sisters were downstairs. And that's how the AME church, you're called African Methodist Episcopalian. And when we come together at Methodist, every branch of Methodism comes together. And we who are United Methodists, we are dying to get the AME and the CME back and the CME Zion because there's such a large number, it would be good for our numbers. That's why we want them back. Every time we meet, we say, oh, we're brothers and sisters, why don't you come back? But we are connected. They have the same structure we do, same structure with bishops and same thing. And they do believe that John Wesley is the founder of Methodism. And so they are our brothers and sisters. They're brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're brothers and sisters because they worship God, and they're brothers and sisters because they're Methodist. And so we pray for them this morning because they're waiting upon the Lord like we are waiting upon the Lord. But there's a way to wait in patience. You see, sometimes we wait and we complain. Has anybody ever waited and complained? I could wait and complain. While I'm waiting, I'm complaining. Do you know that's not the waiting the Bible is talking about in patience? That's why patience is the fruit of the Spirit. I could be waiting. While I'm waiting, I'm just complaining. You know, where is she or where is he? Or why are they not doing anything? I'm waiting because I'm forced to wait. And I'm complaining. Anybody else here has that weakness and I'm the only one who's working on the fruit of the Spirit of patience? Somebody is raising their hand. You know, I'm working on the fruit of the Spirit of patience. You see? Because my mind goes fast sometimes, and if somebody is not moving as fast as I am, I'll just say, why can't you? Why can't you get this? Why can't you? I have a new secretary, and I have got to work on that. I'm working on it all the time, that fruit of the Spirit. I'm saying, no, the bulletin, it's this way. No, why can't you get? And I hear the Lord says, no, you got to wait impatiently. So I'm working on that fruit of the Spirit. And sometimes are you saying, praise the Lord, because you know that would be a fact. Just check. She's thanking the Lord that I'm waiting, that I'm working out the patience, fruit of the Spirit. It's all right, you know. I'll tell you, I could get lack of patience sometimes because there's so much to be done. But there's a way in waiting on the Lord, and that's why they say patience is a virtue. When it becomes a virtue, you wait differently, right? Your patience is developed differently because when you're waiting, you're praying, you're seeking God's face. You're asking God for direction. So, which means when I get a little bit, when things have to be done and I get a little crazy, I've got to get into my office and close the door and just say a prayer. Lord, help me here, Holy Spirit, because if you don't help me, I need your help. I know you all are perfect, more perfect than I am. I'm just telling you the truth now. But I see you all on the street sometimes yelling at people in your car. That is not a fruit of the Spirit when they cut you off and you start, get out of the way. As if they could hear us, right? So we all work waiting on that patience. Because patience is a virtue. And this virtue is patience, is important during times of trouble. Because if you react to everything bad that happens, you create more what? Chaos and hurt and havoc. These folks have to pray and wait. And sometimes you're waiting in patience and people think you're what? They think you're a coward. But it's not, because you know if you react, it is going to cause worse things. So let them think that these Christians in Charleston and these people of faith, because they're people of all faiths that are there praying. Let them think we are cowards. We will wait on the Lord to give us direction. Wait on the Lord to bring forth that love in our hearts. Wait on the Lord so we could love this young man through what this young man has done. Because no young person, no child comes out of the womb hated. Hating comes from hearing it at home, hearing it in a culture, right? This is what happens. I do not believe anybody comes out of the womb, that little boy, and says, I'm going to hate people. No, it comes from a culture now that hate is so out there that people talk about hating. We could decide and disagree on our political beliefs and issues, but when you begin to hate the individual and then you spew hate, you put it in the hearts of children, hearts of young people, and when we allow these children seed of hatred to grow. We need to be speaking love, because love is what we need. As the songwriter says, what the world needs now is love. Love is the only thing that there's just too little of. We need to be able to love the first fruit of the Spirit and to wait on the Lord impatiently. And then, because I want to show that little video about what we do as believers, we need to be kind. Kindness. We see Jesus. Jesus demonstrated in that brief little pericope, that little text, about kindness. You know, in that text, I only gave it the part with the little girl, but he had been busy. You know, he was very busy. He had just healed a woman with the issue of blood earlier in the text, if you read earlier in that text. And he's busy. Folks are around him. Yet the leader of the church would come. Now, the same leaders that he had been arguing with, he meant the Pharisees, would come and stop it. The servants come and says, little girl is dead. She's very sick. And Jesus, out of kindness of his heart, great example of kindness, would stop. And what did he do? He stopped and he says, take me to the girl. And after he went to this girl, even though they made fun, he went in that room and James was with him. And Peter. That's why James can write, faith without works is dead. Because he knew it. He saw it firsthand. And Jesus went into that room. And look what Jesus did. He healed her, prayed for her, and then when she got up, what did he say? He says, give her something to eat. What kindness that he would think of her physical need. He says, little girl, get up. Right? And he did it in Greek, I believe. It's Greek or Aramaic. Might have been Aramaic, because Greek would not be, right? It's Aramaic. And he says, little girl, get up. And she got up, and everybody was excited, and he says, give her something to eat. The kindest statement, so simple, that he would know that she was hungry, and he would want to feed her after he had healed her. That's a great example of kindness, of another fruit of the Spirit, to be kind to each other. But my brothers and sisters, all of that has to begin with love. And then James tells us, James, the brother of Jesus, who would know, he writes in his epistle, faith without works is dead. He says, if somebody walks in here, somebody comes to us and say they're hungry, do you first start telling them about God? He says, you got to know about Jesus while you're hungry and dying. He says, no, you feed them first. Feed their hunger and then you tell them. Because what happens is faith demands of us that we love. Faith demands of us that we are patient. Faith demands of us that we are kind. If we know that we have been saved, church, and we all in here believe that we have been saved by Jesus Christ, that heaven is a free gift for us, we don't have to work for salvation. It is done. Our response to that gift is to love one another. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. And out of that love, we must be kind and patient with each other. Out of that loving and kindness and patience comes forgiveness. Come a forgiving heart. Because a heart that is not loving and kind will never forgive. Some of us are holding on to things and people that have done stuff to us for years because we cannot forgive. But if we let the fruit of the Spirit work in us, the fruit of the Spirit of love and kindness, we will forgive. And so, my sisters and brethren, this Sunday, as we are thinking throughout the nation about this terrible act, we remember the goodness that happens in the world among us all. Thanks be to God, there's more goodness than hate. It may seem like there's more hate because it's in the paper every day. Because the good stories are not in the paper. You know that they don't sell newspaper. Newsday will never make any money. It'll go bankrupt. Or Time. But there's a lot of goodness in the world. Goodness that we're doing to each other, among each other, right here in this church, seeking our way out of the midst of the chaos to do what the Lord has called us to do. I said to the Bible study class that when we get to heaven, when we hear that well done is not going to be because we are saved, because we did nothing to be saved. We didn't have to pay for salvation. The well done is going to be because we did good to each other, because we served the Lord. For it, as the scripture says, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was in prison and you came to see me. I was so on and you came. You served in the church. You said, that's what the well done is about. And so once we know that we believe in Jesus Christ and we have faith, then we must respond in love and in kindness and with patience. And so now I'm going to show you, Zamzam, show you a little video that I had planned to show today anyway, because I had shown it a little bit to some in the church council and wanted to show it to the church. And it's so appropriate because this video, as Zamzam brings it up, Akiori ready, is it on? You may have to put, I think I put it on the desktop. I'll come around. Let me get started. I'll walk this way on. And this little video demonstrates to us, reminds us, it's just a short clip. I think it may be, if you give me this. I think it may be on the, it's on the desktop. Are you on? Okay. And this video will just remind us again of what it means. I may not need a flash drive. As I bring this up, you will get on the seat down here. Yes, I got it. Let me open up. Thank you. Amen. Amen. And so today we are reminded, no matter what color, class, or creed, we are brothers and sisters. You are not heavy. I'm not heavy. You are my brother, and you are my sister. And together, we can change the world. Amen. And now we respond, I believe our hymn is Zam Zam. Oh, from the faith we sing. Please be seated. Let us pray for our church. Let us begin. Holy God,
as we gather in this place to worship you, fill us and surround us with your Holy Spirit.
Continue to pour out your blessings upon our church. And show us new exciting ways to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Bless Hicksville United Methodist Church
so that it will remain here as a beacon of light in this community until Christ returns.
Amen. And now today we have an adult baptism, a new member. We please come forward. Akio and Zam Zam, and you could bring your little girl, and Kevin, you could please come and stand. We were going to use the other sacrament, but we have to bless the water. I told him, Zam Zam, you could announce the name. The page is here. I just have page 45, but you could announce it in the name. First page, yes. I'll just say something first.
Yes,
Pastor. You could stand here. We're going to do what you could stand with her. We'll talk. You need a red hymnal. Could you give her a red hymnal, please? You could stand with her. Thank you for coming. And we're going to give you the hymnal. So you could give her a page for it. Right? Good to see you. How are you doing today? Doing well. And just let her go to page 45. As we begin, we are today we are going to be, we have two things we'll do. We'll do them together. We'll first do the baptism. Shamelia Roman will be coming for baptism. Zam Zam, you'll present her. And then there'll be both Kevin Sullivan and Shamelia will both be coming in as member. We will baptize. Kevin is Roman Catholic, so he's already baptized. We know once we are baptized, always baptized. One baptism, forever and ever. So we'll first I'll go to church. You'll stay at page 45, but let me just say a couple of things on page 39. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the baptism, we're initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without a price. And so who presents?
I present Chimela Roman for baptism.
And now before we get to page 45, let me just read from page 45, and then Akia will bless the water. The church is God. The church is of God and will be preserved to the end of time for the conduct of worship and the due administration of God's word and sacraments, the maintenance of Christian fellowship and discipline, and the edification of believers and the conversion of the world. All of every age and nation stand in need of the means of grace which it alone supplies. And so now we are going to ask Akio to read. I think we could read from here. Yes, we're going to bless the water. Akio is going to read and bless the water. Go ahead, Akio.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. To the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water, and she who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, Eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And now, for as much as all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, our Savior, Christ, said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, one cannot enter the kingdom of God. So let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we call upon thee for this, your servant, that she coming to holy baptism may receive remission of her sin and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Receive her, O Lord, as thou hast promised by thy well-beloved Son, and grant that she may be faithful to thee. That she may be faithful to thee all the days of her life, and finally come to the eternal kingdom which thou hast promised through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now I'm going to ask her to answer these questions, and then when we get to the creed, I will ask the church to join her in saying it. And now, Shamelia, do you, in the presence of God and this congregation, renew the solemn vow and the promise you will be making today at your baptism? Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Will you join her? I believe in God. You read. Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Zabzam, you could do the next one.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament?
That's for you. Say it.
I do. Do you promise according to God's given grace given to you to keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in the same all the days of your life as faithful member of Christ's holy church?
Do you desire to be baptized in this faith? Okay, now please name. Now my sister, Shamilia Roman, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shamilia, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Loving God, we thank you for this one person that you have brought into the fold. We thank you. You know, God, that you will go searching for one lost soul. And so today, heaven is rejoicing for someone who has said yes to Christ. Be with her. Go with her. Let her know that you'll never leave her nor forsake her. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And now please rise here. And then both of you, Kevin and you're part of the family. You've been baptized here already, right? And your time will come to be confirmed. And give me your first name again. Caitlin. How could I forget, right? But I'm getting old. Now, let those persons who are members of other communions, which would be Kevin in Christ's Holy Church, and who will now desire to enter into fellowship with this congregation, present themselves to be received into membership of the United Methodist Church. And Zamzam, you could give his name. It's Kevin.
Kevin Sullivan.
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 Now, Kevin, this question is for you. Will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and uphold it by your prayers and your presence, your gifts and your service? So say. I will. Good. Now let those members who are, this would be Shamilia, as you come forward, we welcome you as a member of our church. And now to the congregation. Brothers and sisters, I commend to your love and care these two persons whom we this day receive into membership of this congregation. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. And please respond.
And bid you welcome to this congregation of United Methodist Church. With you we renew our vows to uphold it by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. With God's help, we will also order our lives after the example of Christ, that surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened the way that leads to life eternal.
Amen. Please kneel. Would you like to kneel with her? You can hold. No, it's all right. You can just stand. Oh, what is your name? Lorraine, we thank you for coming to stand in with them. And what church are you from? You're Roman Catholic. Well, we're glad to have our Roman Catholic sister here with us today. I knew she was because she has on a nice lovely cross. Praise God. Welcome, Tom. And just come and stand with them. Let us pray. Yes. Let us pray. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and keep you all now and forevermore. Loving God, we pray for this young couple who will be joining matrimony in September. We pray blessings upon them. We pray blessings upon their life, Lord God, that they will go forth in faith and serve you. We welcome them now to our church, and we thank you as we rejoice with the angels in heaven. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Blessings. And here are your certificates. All right? Please stand. Give them a hand. You could turn and face the congregation. Here, you could give them a hand. Blessings be upon you. So hard, was it? Good seeing you, Caitlin. Blessings. And thank you for coming. Yes. Blessings. Blessings. And Samson, what is next?
Prayer first. Prayer.
And then I'll have a picture afterwards. Because I don't have my picture people here. But I'll take a picture. Please, it needs to be on the website or somewhere. And now we'll have the it's prayer time, Samson.
Yes, you? Well, this is our prayer time. If you have any prayer request or want to come down and kneel down at the altar rail. Yeah, there are prayer requests. Prayer for Betty Bride, sister of Ellen Shield, and is in need of prayer. She is in hospice. Ruth Hochberg, friend of Liz Fleming, passed away after long illness. Prayer for the victims and their families of the Charleston shooting. We give praise and prayers and thanksgiving for the people from remorse removed from our prayers, prayer list and last past week. So I would start with the moment of silent prayer for the victims and their families from Charleston whose life has been taken in vain. Let us pray. Lord, this morning we come to you with our heavy hearts as we have lost our brothers and sisters in Charleston, O God, serving you in your presence they were, O Lord, and they have responded to your call and they are into your arms at this moment. Lord, we pray, O Master, that you will comfort their families. You have already done, O Lord. And what a great witness, O Master, to forgive people who hurt us. They are living a true life of a Christian, O Master. Help us to be like them, Lord Jesus. Help us to be like you, Lord Jesus, forgiving people who hurt us, who harm us. And Lord God, at this moment we bring that young man before thy throne of grace, O God. He is forgiven by the people whom he hurt, he has harmed, killed. But Lord God, he has to come to your feet and ask for forgiveness. Help him, O Lord. Help him to do so, Master. Lord, we have read about Saul and how Saul became Paul, O God. But we pray today that you will do it in this man's life, O God. Transform him, Lord Jesus. Nothing is impossible with you, Master. O Holy Spirit, God, we also remember those who are in hospice, those who have lost their loved ones for some other reason. Lord, we pray, O Master, that you take charge of their situations, O Master. And we pray, O God, that you will look into our lives so that we may start thinking about love and forgiveness, God. Lord, if there is any hatred in our hearts, remove it, O Lord, and replace it with your divine and holy love, O God, that unconditional love that you have come down on earth for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bring our Methodist churches and all the other churches around the world before thy throne of grace. And we pray, O Master, that what we hear from the pulpit, we may take it home, O Lord, to our communities, to our families, O God. Let us not have a dual personality, O God, that when we are in church we are good and when we go out we are different, Master. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, O Master, that we may love you and we may love your people the way we love you, Lord Jesus, and we love ourselves. O Holy Spirit, God, we pray, O Master, for the armed forces and the peace of this world, O God. Let your peace descend in every nook and corner of this country, O Master. Lord, we bind the hatred and we bind the Satan in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Go forth in this world, O Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Send forth your Holy Spirit, God, so that every human being is touched, Lord. No matter from what community they belong, no matter from what race they belong, O God, touch each one of us today, Master. Lord, we call upon you as a church, Master. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may taste your love every day, O Lord, more and more, and we may come closer and have a closer walk with you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence in our church. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you speak to us, and we have heard you, Holy Spirit. And when we go from here, O Lord, we will be different, O Master. In Jesus' mighty and awesome and the sweetest name of above all names, O God, we pray in the name of Jesus. Let us pray the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now as the ushers come forward to receive our offerings, let us offer ourselves and our hearts to our God.